Order, first order of business is the pledge of allegiance followed by a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. The next item is director's report.
Yes, good evening, Chairman Bev, members of the planning commission, Ms. Eager, Mr. Payne. Just some items for you. At the July 9th board special meeting, you all were there as well. The Flavanna County zoning ordinance industrial setback amendment that was approved 5-0. That's where we're working on that area of Zion Crossroads, particularly for some corner lot setbacks and industrial setbacks. The Board of Zoning Appeals, they did not have any cases scheduled for August. Technical Review Committee for July 11th. The cases, actually, the two cases you have for you tonight were discussed. Ms. Steele and Mr. Robbins can talk about those, but it's the Green Thumb, Thumb Landscaping case, special exception use permit on Bobby Church Road, and then we have Mr. Brown with Wahoo Barbecue at the former Cunningham Market. That'll be coming before you tonight in the public hearing session. Technical Review Committee, August 8th, last week. Mr. Robinson's been working on the Village Oaks Clubhouse. It's located at the main gate, across from the Lake Monticello's main gate there. That's the clubhouse for that development. And then the last technical review item was on August 8th. We had Nerman Smudzolik. Smudzolik, thank you. He's looking at the existing house or to be business building across from where the building pump station up almost at Zion there for HVAC contractors building inside storage for his business. So that's a rezoning that's scheduled for A1 to B1 uses. That's all I have for you, Chairman Bill.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Okay, next item is first of two public comment section. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on any item other than the items that are on the public hearing, you will be able to speak to those during the public hearing. Anyone wishing to come forward, you will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the first public comment section at this time, and we'll go to the minutes of the July 9th. 2019 meeting. Anybody have any questions, comments, that was made.
Already fixed it.
Yeah. It was supposed to be
elevated instead of evaluate.
Elevated instead of evaluate. That was changed. I wanted to make one comment back when we had the meeting about the industrial setbacks. I think there may have been some misunderstanding, and I just want to make sure everybody's clear. When we were discussing it, and I talked about talking with the Planning Commission, and we didn't. We both came up with the 25 feet separately. It wasn't a joint thing. Both of us came up with that 25 foot separately. So in a minute, it may look like it was a joint thing, but it was not. Okay, so if it's anybody want to make a motion about the minutes?
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Okay, have a motion by Mr. Lozino. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, one absent. Now we will go into our public hearings. The first of is SUP 1906, Green Thumb Landscaping.
Okay, if any of you all would like to look at the site plan for the survey and hard copy, I have a bunch here in with you all as well. Okay, so we have special use permit 1906 for Green Thumb Landscaping. This is a request for a special use permit for a landscaping materials supply business with respect to 1.631 acres of tax map 20, section A, parcel 8. This business entails a limited number of mulching material piles and the associated equipment. And you all will see these pictures later in the presentation. This parcel is in our rural residential community planning area in the Columbia Election District, and there's no previous zoning history on the property. So as you can see, it's located off by East Church Road in the Wildwood section of the county. Okay, so I think it's important to point out, this is the parcel, but the GIS is a little bit off. We're working on getting that sorted out, but the property is more like this, which you can see in the survey that is attached in your staff report. Okay, and this is the zoning. You can see everything around it is in A1 agricultural. Okay, and this is the site plan for this. There's already a dwelling and a shed on the property. And then they've denoted where the proposed landscaping materials will be. Okay, so these are pictures I took on my site visit out to the property. This is the view from Bobby Church Road. As you can see in the left picture, that's the shed. And then behind those trees are the mulching piles. And then you can see the view standing across the road. The mulching piles are behind that tree. Okay, so these are the piles and the truck. Okay, and this is the view looking at the road from the middle of the driveway. And that's a more up-close view of the shed. Okay, so we have come up with 9 recommended conditions. Number 1 is in red because it differs from what is in your staff report. Your staff report reads that prior to a site development plan, or prior to development, they will file a site plan. Since this business is already active, we did amend it to say that they need to file a sketch plan with the county within 60 days, and we've spoken with the representative, and that's no problem. The 60-day time frame seems reasonable to get that done. Okay, so to conclude, this request is to operate a landscaping material supply business. It would bring economic development to the county. The mulching piles are already partially screened from the road, but the ordinance will require some additional screening, and we'll go through that in the sketch plan process. Business is conducted off-site, so there's not going to be additional outside traffic flow from customers coming and going to the property. And it does appear to meet all of the county requirements. So that's all I have for you guys. I know the PACE's representative, Mr. Mike Hines, has some things he would like to say as well. But before we do that, if y'all have any questions for me, I'm happy to
attempting. Anybody have any questions?
What are the screening requirements? You mentioned that more screening would be required.
I can't cite it word for word. I'm sure Mr. Pate can. But essentially, it requires that landscaping materials need to be screened from the road and adjoining properties.
Because there was some indication in the application that they didn't believe they would able to effectively do that.
Right. So we've
cleared that up. That they're
yes, we're gonna work on that with the sketch plan and seeing how we can get it adequately screened and in compliance with the ordinance. Any other questions for me?
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I've had the honor to be a part of the Pace family for a couple of decades, and they've asked me to represent them in this issue. I've known Ryan since he was about this big, and quite an entrepreneur. He started this business when he was in high school with some of his high school buddies, and kept it going the entire time he went through college. Virginia Tech, studying the landscape maintenance program at Virginia Tech. He finished school and came back and found that his great-grandfather's house was on the market for sale, and purchased it, and approached the county to see if there was a business license required for him to do his landscaping, and he was told that there were no licenses required. And so he moved forward with utilizing the property to run his business from there, and has been doing that for quite a while now. He was unaware that there was any problems until Scott Miller from Compliance showed up and said that they had a complaint, and going through it realized that the mulch piles were a problem. Immediately put an application in for the special use permit. This, as Holly said, this is after the fact, I guess, that the existing business, and they have no plans of doing any more improvements there except for whatever is required by the special use permit itself. So I'm hoping that you agree to approve this to allow one of our young entrepreneurs in this county to continue developing his business. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? If there's no other questions, we'll open the public hearing at this time. Anyone wishing to come forward and speak about this project, please come forward. State your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes.
I'm Robert Cassidy. I live less than 0.2 miles from my great aunt's place, Edith Farrah, Pauline Farrah, which is where Ryan Pace lives. I have nothing against Ryan Pace or entrepreneurs or young people, but I have concerns about traffic on this narrow residential country road we live on. I have concerns about the noise that I hear up there, whatever it's going to look like after these partitions are up. That concerns me. It's a very dangerous hill up there. That's really the biggest concern here for traffic and the big trucks that are going in and out once in a while. So it's already a danger on that road. Coming up that hill before you get to Ryan's driveway, you can't tell who's coming over, and you can't tell who's coming up that hill. They asked me about putting the mirror across the road so their trucks can see up and down the road, and that's testimony to the danger there. You can't see very well. So it's really a safety concern here. It's not something against Ryan, it's a concern of mine of safety with the narrow country road. It's very narrow, very twisted. I've been in the ditch myself several times when people come over that road or up that hill, or and they're in the middle of the road and nobody can see each other. I'm a bit concerned about this commercial business getting a foot on this residential road. This house is a residence. It was a residence. Ryan's been there, I think, a year. that's my main concern, is the safety. This is a commercial foothold. The narrowness of the road, the noise that I hear once in a while up there, beep, 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 trucks in and out and dumping materials and so forth. And the congestion that may occur with trucks in and out of there. These are my concerns for the entire neighborhood. Now, there's a house even closer to Ryan, probably a tenth of a mile away. McDonald's directly behind him from me. It would be a direct line. And I don't know what they have to say about it, but I can't, in good conscience, be for this kind of thing. It's the wrong place. First of all, it's a safety issue, number one, and the congestion. So
I can't in good conscience support this kind of thing on my residential country road. I've been there 33 years, and it's not the right step forward for quality of peace and quiet and rural living on a road like that. I think...
Time's up.
Okay, that's good. That takes care.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak about this, please come forward and state your name and address. Seeing no one else coming forward, we will start the discussion with the Planning Commission.
Quickly, so this is zone agricultural now, right? Just like most of the rest of the county.
Yes.
And if this type of stuff, if there was a, let's see, there's lots of fields kind of surrounding in this area. So if this were exact same or very similar equipment were used for an agricultural purpose, it would be a by right use.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. And I'm sure you all saw this in your staff report, but VDOT is obviously part of our technical review process. So they reviewed this project, went out to the site, and they had no real comments. Mr. Himes did say they are interested in putting a mirror there, just I believe, right?
Yes.
Just so trucks can come and go safer way. So keep that in mind.
So that was not a VDOT requirement?
Correct.
So
VDOT had no requirements.
So this meets VDOT requirements as far as sight lines.
Mm-hmm.
How long has this been in business?
How long
since May of last year. We've been in business just over a year now.
And
part of one of the requirements, recommended requirements, would be that the site must meet all the Virginia Department of Transportation requirements.
Right.
As the process goes on.
And we did put hours of operation as there in there as well after meeting with the applicants, just taking the noise into consideration that it's not in the middle of the night or at the crack of dawn.
What are the hours of operation?
8 to 6 Monday through Saturday.
8 to 6.
No, Monday on Sunday.
Right.
And what kind of vehicles are going in and out? Just like, I think there was, I saw like maybe a 10 wheel dump truck or some similar.
There's just a F-450 dump truck and then a Chevy pickup.
Okay,
and then,
so nothing in that.
And then we've got a bobcat that runs around there, and that's probably the backup beeper. That can be removed without a problem, so it doesn't make any noise backing up. But none of the trucks have.
What about tractor trailers making deliveries?
They come, I would say, roughly about once a month or so, if you average that out between the 12-month cycle.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'd just like to say I live on a farm, and today I had a delivery of fertilizer, which was an enormous tractor trailer, and I'll be having several more of those delivered, and I live on a small dead end road, and it didn't seem to be a problem. Did you see the pile of paper? It's big. And that's typical of farmland. Also, when you have hay, you have large big bear round bins, they're put on the tractor trailer and move from place to place. Is this road a paved road?
Oh yeah.
It is
yes.
Paved.
Okay.
I don't believe it's lined. We can look back at the roads, but
no,
I don't know.
No, it's not lined.
It's not lined,
it's
but
very
it is paved.
So is my road, not
right.
Lined.
Right.
Yeah. And so it, to me, being a farmer, this is a kind of a typical operation. And also we have many other landscaping companies throughout the county, several, just in my area, that you can think of about four, between 600 and 616.
Some years ago, we approved one right near Science Crossroads on 15.
Right. Huge.
Remember that? That's much bigger.
Right.
That's got a retail outlet, too. Significantly different than this.
Anybody have have any more discussion, any more questions? We've seen the recommended conditions and what the staff has said about the property and so forth like that. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1906, a request for landscaping material for a landscaping material supply business with respect to 1.631 acres of Tax Map 20, Section A, Parcel 8, subject to the nine conditions given in the staff presentation.
I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Lagacino. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, 1 absent. That is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is SUP 1907. Howard Brown the second.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. This is a special use permit application, number SUP 1907, as submitted from Howard Graham II. This is a special use permit request to establish a restaurant and gas station on Tax Map 18, Section 3, Parcel 2, which is 2.587 acres in size. As you'll see, it's located on Route 53. It's in a rural residential planning area, and as I mentioned, the applicant is proposing, the request is twofold in that he's proposing a restaurant and gas station. And the definitions are on the screen. It's important to note in that definition, he's proposing a small restaurant, which the maximum size is up to 2,000 square feet. This building is nowhere near that size. And then, as you'll see later on, when he adds the sale of gas and fuel, when the gas station use will also be a footprint. The applicant is proposing to locate in the building that was formerly known as Cunningham Market. He has a catering business with Virgin's Walker Barbecue, so he would be moving into this building and operating his catering business as well as establishing a restaurant where people can find and reserve. And as he faces the business, he would add sell convenience items, and then, as mentioned earlier, fuel. So this is the parcel's location in the county. It, as mentioned, it's on Route 53, in between, basically between Lake Monticello and Palmyra. And this is an aerial image of the property. You can see there's the four structures there. The one in the corner there is the gas canopy. The one you see with the red roof is the structure in question. The other two are dwellings on the property that are not involved with this request. This is the site plan that the applicant submitted. The patched area in red in the lower right-hand corner is the area of the property you'll be using. That contains the old Cunningham Market store and then the gas canopy. Again, the rest of the property is not involved with discussion. Not really proposing to construct any additional buildings on site. He's using the existing structures. So this is the view as you're traveling north on 53. Just after you pass the driveway entrances to Cunningham Methodist, this property is on the right-hand side. The market is there in the background and in the gas canopy. And you can see the other two structures to the left of the store. All of those buildings are on the same parcel, but just the store that can see is where the applicant will be used. So this is this photograph is just to show the close proximity of the old market to Route 53. And then this view is to show the other side of the building where the applicant would be placing his smoker. He proposes to add a small shelter to put his smoker under, and it'll be located on this side of the building, most likely behind that little bump out there that you see on the left-hand side of the building. That bump out is a restroom. There's an existing restroom on the outside, and then there's one on the inside, and he'll have to work with the health department along and meet building code requirements for restrooms and so forth. And this is just a view looking back south on 53 towards Palmyra, just to show you the proximity of the site to some of the other entrances along 53. Again, the church entrances, they have two entrances there, and then there are some other residential driveways in proximity as well. So to conclude, this is a special use permit request for a restaurant and gas station. It is utilizing an existing building that was used for the same or similar use. This request at this time appears to meet all of our ordinance requirements. Any potential adverse impacts from approval of the special permit would be traffic being generated to the site and then inviting. So I have the conditions and so forth in the staff report. If I can answer any questions you might have at this time. And Mr. Brown is here as well.
This is very much the same as it used to be for many years there when we had the Cunningham Market, and they sold some groceries and they did sell food for consumption and so forth like that at the gas station. Been having to sign there for many, many years and it's opening soon. I know many, many years ago, in the hunting time, I used to go there to that little store there quite often and so forth like that. So I'm very familiar with the site.
So with this special use permit, and then when they open the restaurant and everything, have parking for their clients, are they going to have to, with their site development plan, are they going to have to meet all the current regulations as far as parking and setback for parking and everything?
Possibly. Yeah, I believe they would have to.
Okay.
Well, to the extent that they're that it's lawfully non-conforming, they wouldn't have to, but otherwise, yes, it would.
So the fact that it's close to the road because it's already there would be okay?
Yeah, that's my question. If they have to meet all those, can they meet all those? That's my question.
Well,
because it seems pretty tight.
I think the answer is if they have to meet them, they have to meet them.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
We'll have to figure it out.
Mr. Zimmer, the area that's behind the gasoline canopy area is the farthest away from the road for parking. We talked to Mr. Brown about that, and in front of the building and then away from the road. He agreed that all the bumper blocks that are currently in place would be utilized for parking and pickup of barbecue items.
Yep.
So they would not have to move the building? Okay.
There's parking in front of the store, then on the side there, right there in the foreground on that fence. So there's three property lines.
But that would all be acceptable under current standards, is what I'm asking.
Well, that still needs to be evaluated.
You're right, okay.
But the building is only, according to what I looked at, 785 square feet. So I don't imagine that square footage would require a lot of parking.
Right.
That needs to be evaluated.
Okay.
And again, if he ever opens gas sales, there's parking at the pumps. So most of the time people are parking at the pumps going into the store. And that's why, so we pick up some extra spaces there.
Anybody else have any more questions?
Mr. Brown is here as well.
Would the applicant like to come forward and make his statement?
Good evening. Howie Brown, I'm the owner of Bobby Barbecue. I do have some floor plans here, but inside you can kind of see the seating that I am looking at. It's under 15. Which is also convenient for bathroom use as well. So it is going to be a small inside seating for the restaurant part of it, but small convenience, and maybe later on, you'll want the gas pumps open it back up too. Also has a little bit of site plan too, just for your parking and stuff. So I should do this too. Yeah. So I've lived in the county pretty much my whole life and come to know Barbecue pretty well and love it. Love catering and ready this year, Libby County, and open up the store that should be open by now, you know. It's a good spot that is a perfect little barbecue spot like this. So on the little site plan there, as far as the parking, everything looks like it's on that far side away from the road as much as possible. Because the closest parking would be the gas if we do that, you know, later on through Bay Street there or so. And the only structure I'm looking at putting on there is the small shelter, probably just a small carport to house the smoker under from weather and whatnot. Kitchen and such inside is pretty small, so it will have to be a smaller restaurant. As you can see there, I've got 6 bar stools and a 4 top table. That's pretty much the only seating that's available inside in order for me to have the convenience items and such as well. And hopefully keep up to the standards and have some good food in there, as it always has been. Thank you. Have any questions?
I have one question. I wanted to ask you about the hours of operation. I see here 7 from morning to 8 at night, but have you thought about maybe extending it maybe to say 10 o'clock, because a lot of people come into the school for things going home?
10 o'clock at night?
Uh-huh. I know they say just because you've got 7 in the morning doesn't mean you've got to open at 7.
Right.
You know? But I realize, you know, it can be a long day, but at the same time, I'm thinking about matter of convenience. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to start in these hours and then expand out.
Well, you would have to come back to us again if you're gonna extend the hours past 8 o'clock. So I'm thinking while you were here, I can tell you it's probably not going to be at.
It's probably good advice to get what you might want someday.
Yeah. Yeah. If we want to get that station.
If I lengthen the hours, can I shrink them without coming back?
Sure.
You can. Okay. Well, then
these are your hours you're allowed to operate.
Okay.
The hours you have to operate.
Okay.
You get there at 9:45 and there's no barbecue. Right now.
Yeah.
I was talking,
well, then,
I would think about,
thank you for the advice. I appreciate that. I would think
about 10, 11 o'clock.
Okay, yes, sir. Yeah.
I was thinking about barbecue. Building a restaurant before Kenyon, and I was thinking about hours of operation. I'm not going to do it now. But, you know, to get to your clients and everything. And I think you'd pass up a lot of business from the high school and
yes,
people
sir.
Coming down 53 from Charlottesville.
Something I noticed today, you get the county fair going on as well. I mean, and you have advanced county events and such, so it would be, it'd be smart to have an hour. Right.
And you possibly might have meetings at the church and people after that.
Yes, sir, yeah.
I say go,
I might
boy.
Stand up at 6 in the morning because that was also in my head too. A lot of people are talking about going to work and getting coffee. Man, I'm at work at 6 most days, but you know, 7 o'clock seemed fair, but so many people have asked me about getting coffee at 6 in the morning, so maybe I'd do it from 6 in the morning to 10 at night. And if I could shrink inside, I'd be a little better. Thank you for the advice.
Great advice.
So, do we want to make that change in an application at this time to for the hours that you're requesting from us to be from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
We can do that, Mr. Payne.
Yes, sir.
Make it part of your motion.
Yep. Anybody else have any questions, Mr. Brown? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll open the public hearing at this time. Anyone who wishes to come forward to speak about this project, please come forward, state your name and address.
My name is Roger Bly. My address is 2654 Rurotain Lake Road. I'm one of the board of trustees at Cunningham United Methodist Church, and the church is concerned that Mr. Brown would not be open in time for homecoming this year. We feel like this business, proposed business, would be an asset to the community. We hope that we'll be able to welcome him to our neighborhood with a favorable decision.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to come forward?
Good evening, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. My name is Genevieve Keller. And I wanted to start by saying I was very pleased a couple of weeks ago to read that Judy and Henry Southworth were honored for their historic blacksmith shop in Cunningham, and that the blacksmith shop was built in 1917. And that clicked in to me that my grandfather's deed said that he had closed on his property or recorded the deed in 1917 there in Cunningham, where he was the owner and operator of the Cunningham store, certainly before 1917. So I think he must have leased it before that, because my father was born there in 1915. So Cunningham in the early 20th century was quite a thriving place, with a couple of general stores and the blacksmith shop. And all through my life, early life, it was a very thriving place, and the store was really the hub of that community. My grandfather ran, J. Floyd Page ran the store until 1960, when he handed it over to his daughter, Alice Chase Gibson Carver, who operated the store until the 1980s, when she sold it, and a number of people operated it afterwards. And she lived across the street and loved looking out her window and seeing what was going on at the store. She was very sad when they closed the gas pumps, because then she had fewer things to look at out her window. So the store has been a good neighbor and really a good part of that community for more than a century, and I would be very happy to see it resume those operations. I'm an adjacent property owner. And the only thing that I would ask is that you have a condition to limit any accessory uses to the gas station, that it only be for the sales of gas and not have auto sales or service or tire sales or anything of that nature. I'm particularly concerned about that because I have a number of relatives buried in the cemetery there at the Cunningham Methodist Church, and I've always found it quite an appealing space, and I would just like to see it be convenience store, food sales, and gas. So I look forward to being a customer from time to time of Mr. Rounds, and I support this application with that one addition. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to come forward? Make a note that the parish key has arrived at 7:40. Okay, any other questions or anything like that? I think it's a good thing. The fact that this has been sitting empty, and it's a very similar use that it operated for 100 years. And I don't see any real problem with it at all.
I forgot your name, ma'am.
Genevieve Keller.
Ms. Keller.
Is it?
Mr. Payne, isn't Ms. Keller's concern addressed by the fact that this is a SUP for specific activity, and that couldn't be expanded into automotive repair or automotive sales?
Well, if you want to be sure of that, I think you've thought about a specific condition.
Okay.
Obviously, there's going to be sales other things.
Yeah,
right.
I've no problem with washer fluid and automotive oil.
I won't be changing oil.
But what I understand her talking about, excuse me, is really in the nature of service.
Right.
Repair and sale of major parts and things like that. If you want to formulate a condition to that effect, I don't think that would hurt anything. It would be, puts everybody on notice of the scope of the use.
Then if it were to be sold, it would put the, it sounds like there's no problem with Mr. Brown doing that, but the next owner someday might have a different outlook.
Frankly, the size of the parcel doesn't seem like there would be room for any of that.
Yeah.
in the definition, in the analysis, it talks about gas stations defined as any place of business used primarily for storage, dispersal, sale, or offering of fuels or oil for motor vehicles. Such uses may include the retail sale of convenience items as a secondary activity. Any use associated with automobile fuel sales should be considered a gas station. So I reckon we could kind of add the fact that no other activities other except for the sale of gas and accessories related to that, such as oil.
I suggest if you're going to put a condition, not make a negative condition. No sales, no service to be performed on the property, and no sale of major retail items to repair.
All right, need to consider that. But do we have a motion?
I'll make one on.
Where is the motion?
Yeah, sorry. Right now, I'm in condition for.
And Mr. Payne, you want me to include in the motion to say that about the hours of operation changed to?
Yes, if you're going to change it, yes, it should
okay.
be.
Okay. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1707, a request to establish a restaurant and gas station with respect to 2.587 acres of tax map 18, section 3, parcel 2, subject to the 8 conditions listed in the staff report.
It's 9.
Nine. The 9 conditions listed in the staff report, and further that the hours be modified to read from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week.
10 p.m.
No, 10, you're right. 10. I'm the one who wanted 10.
Sorry, your recommendation.
Okay. From 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week.
6 a.m.
Okay, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. Okay. I think we got it all now.
Did you get a part about
it? Yeah, and there shall be no sales and major auto service of no sales and major service of automobiles on the premises.
No sales or auto service.
Yeah, there shall be no sales and major service of automobiles on the premises, because your gas station use allows you to do, you could do changing of oil or antifreeze.
And you got that written down?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see how well that you can read.
Have a motion by Mr. Johnson with some additions and some changes. Do I have a second? Have a second for Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay, thank you, it's approved. The next item is ZTA 1902, temporary sign.
Thank you, Mom.
I see.
Where are you going?
Mr. Vice is sensitive that he assigned Mr. Robinson to handle the junior graduate's application rather than Ms. Steve.
Yep. He told me he put turkey legs on the menu for me. We had a talk about today.
Chairman Bibb, sorry, I'm going to present right from here.
That's fine. Thank you.
So the zoning text amendment, this is the temporary sign amendment that was brought up this summer. Mr. Payne and I worked on this. The July 9th Board of Supervisors voted to send this to you all to prepare this amendment. We prepared it relative to specifically political signs, but it's also temporary and exempt signs that are part of that process. Currently, the county sign regulations restrict the display of temporary signs to a 60-day period preceding the event, such as the election. This proposed text amendment, as advertised, removes the 60-day Time limit for exempt political and temporary signs, as is defined in the ordinance. You all have this in your packet, but also basically on this, the essence of this slide is we are removing but in no event greater than 60 days. We are, however, also leaving in both candidates and other folks who put these signs up, do need to remove them 10 days after the event of the election.
So keeping the got to get it down in 10 days, that stays.
Right. We usually don't have a problem with that, but we do want to leave that in. So the campaign managers will take care of it.
So if I ran for president in 2020,
I'd vote for you, Barry.
You got my vote, Barry.
BB for 2020. And I lost for by a very small margin. So I could go out there and I decided, well, I'm going to run again in 2024. Change those signs to 2024 and leave them up for 4 years.
No, you'd have to, that's why we left in. You have to take down the other
things. So while I was taking them down, I could put up signs.
So we left in the language, it has to be a reasonable time for
that leaves discretion to the zoning administrator.
So, I mean, I'm just trying to figure, I know that there's reason for this and so forth like that, but it just bothers me the fact that
understand one thing, this is not specific to political signs,
right?
This is all temporary signs, and one of the things that one of the objections was that we were singling out political signs. We didn't, but I think it makes it clear that we're not now. If you notice, there's actually three parts to these amendments. This is the first one. And then there's definition of political sign, and political signs are defined as temporary signs, and we think that ought to come out. So that if you had something that was a political view that was not particular to a to some election, like rejoin the British Empire. Something like that. Don't laugh. That's going to be in my front yard next week. But that's one. And then the second thing is the definition of temporary sign is mirrors the removal of the 60-acre. But it's important to note that these changes continue our plan and clarify our plan that temporary signs are a group, and they can be for almost anything. The obvious thing would be a yard sale, for example. Yard sale, election, whatever it might be. So if you're going to have your yard sale, Mr. Bibb, this Saturday, I don't think you're going to have a sign up in May advertising your August yard sale.
Wants a crowd. He's running for president. He's got a lot of money. That ain't cheap.
Remember, that's a very, very acute observation.
But Mr. Payne is correct. A lot of times with temporary signage, I mean, right now we have, like I said, you have yard sales, you have other things going on at holiday craft sales, Christmas tree sales, firework sales in the summertime. So those signs are usually removed after 10 days, and that's why we left it in. That way we would also be able to still put up things. If you want to put a yard sale sign up 2 weeks prior, and it's fine. Most localities don't regulate yard sale signs because there's a permit needed. It's pretty much common sense. You put them up Thursday, take them down Sunday morning or Monday morning.
Notice that these are, since they're temporary signs, as Mr. Miles noted, they're treated more liberally than a permanent sign would be. They don't have to have sketches and permits and things like that.
But if they got dilapidated or whatever, we could actually have somebody
from the county. That end will be out if they're in the right away, if you're not having any aspect of the people, so that's not good.
VDOT, any public property, will get proposition. You don't have a right for that, VDOT, right? VDOT stuff.
And is that the fact that they should have gotten permission and clarified for use to commence line everywhere?
Well, they don't have a right to put it in your property either unless you agree.
But yes, that's correct. And there is a process to go through VDOT to put up signs, especially church directional signs. They have a process that you're allowed to do that, put them in the right of way and get the right permit through the VDOT residency office. And then also making sure, like I said before, during snow and grass seasons for them, they don't want signs impeding their plows or grass weather. In essence, it's pretty much a year-round prohibition for that.
Why is this coming for us at this time? Are there any complaints about not being able to express themselves?
Yes. There was a candidate that objected.
Was it from Van County?
It's a congressional.
No, it's a House of Delegates.
House of Delegates, that part of our district is.
It was a House of Delegates candidate. It could have been anybody. As we were talking coming in this evening, this is less of a problem in Fluvanna County than this lot of places.
Right.
One of the problems we have in Fluvanna County is to get all these kinds of candidates now. I see them every day.
Right. I haven't seen any sort of
I don't think I can say.
Of course, it's not 60 days before the
The guy running for board supervisor in Albemarle County has
signs
from Halloran, has signs from Dillon, probably to Rutgersville.
He's
counting for a lot of out of district voters. He's got a lot of signs up there, a lot of counties.
We do have some signs in our area for treasure.
I can tell you right now, if you go in the city of Charlottesville, there's signs all over the place for Albemarle candidates. I don't know that there's a lot of them in the city, but there's a lot of them in town.
How many people go to the voting booth thinking that's who they're voting for, and they don't see them on the ballot because that's
unlikely? Well, that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
You put up a sign, Mr. Bibb puts up his sign, BB Critter, and he puts it up in January of 2020 for the 2024 election. All that's going to do is confuse them. So you'd be well advised if you were candidate not to do that. To get used to seeing it, that
doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Part of probably the strategy is that a lot of people go into town. So just catching the vision, people go into either Charlottesville or Richmond. So just putting them where people may be is what people are doing. But I'm glad to have the clarity on where the signs are on the VDOT's property as opposed to. So I was just wondering how do people just knock on somebody's door and say, "Can I put this here?"
Well, a lot of times what you do is if you support people, if you support candidates, you can solicit the signs. I want a yard sign to show that I'm voting for Mr. Bibb for president. Remember that.
So, in conclusion, the proposed amendment would allow for political signs to be displayed longer than 60 days, and that, again, also includes temporary exempt signs. So, again, to recap, the items that are being proposed to be removed are no event greater than 60 days, exempt signs, temporary language and political sign, and then the same temporary signs for removing the 60 days prior. If you have any questions, or Mr. Cambridge can explain it to you all, but this is something that the board did send to you all for action.
Do we have to vote on that?
Yes.
It's a public hearing.
We have to have a public hearing.
I was talking about me, but president. Not really.
Is there a motion, Mr. Beebe, elected president?
Do we have any other discussion about this? If not, I'll open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak about the public hearing, please come forward to the stand, state your name and address. You'll be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll end the public hearing at this time. Do I have a motion to accept this new zoning text amendment, number 1902, as written?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, we don't have that slide in here, so if someone could utilize the one at the bottom of the staff report, suggested motion on the last page.
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of ZTA 1902, an ordinance to amend Chapter 22 of the Flavanna County Code by the amendment of Sections 22-15-2, General Provisions and Exempt Signs, and 22-22-1, Definitions Relative to Political and Temporary Signs.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second? I have a second by Mr. Lagosino. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. The next item of business is our second of two public comment sections. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak anything about the county, please come forward. State your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the public comment section at this time. And if there's no objections from anyone in the Planning Commission or staff, or the county administrator, we will adjourn at this time. We're now adjourned at 8:57.
8:57.
7:57. I caught myself.
So BB 2020, huh?
All right. I don't think so. Unless y'all gonna make a lot of contributions.
Do we have on schedule the joint meeting with the planning to know the supervisor?